I'll be the yellow pole. Godspeed, Mother Nature.
Good morning and welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, as we enter the open lines portion of our morning. So this is your opportunity to join the discussion at 1-877-332-8255. The phone line is open, and really, so is the list of topics. I mean, we can talk about anything. I've got a list. We started off the day talking with Premier Mo about the oil industry and how it might be impacted by what's going on in Venezuela. Then we had Brian Lilly on. We talked with him about this Chrystia Freeland new appointment and maybe the timing, the poor timing of how the announcement came out and the job was accepted. But we can talk about whatever you like. In fact, I'm going to start on the phone line with Alan from Last Mountain Lake, who's on the line wanting to talk about the firearm gun buyback program, which is still a bit of a head scratcher, isn't it, Alan?
Oh, my goodness, Evan. I'm telling you, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here with the number of reasons why this is such a ludicrous program here. But I'm just telling your producer there, I have a rifle. It's a .22, but it's an assault style. It's a German gun. I don't understand why I would have to have this thing bought back. I don't even understand if I don't give it back, am I going to jail?
That's a fair question. Can I just ask, is it on the list? You know, they've come up with a list of, what, over 2,200 guns that are, yeah. Is that gun of yours on the list?
Yes, it is.
It is, yeah.
Yes, I got it. I got an email. And, you know, the fellow that I took my pal and our pal with, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. He was a Regina police constable. And his dad was a Regina cop, too, as well. Okay. Big, tall guy. And these guys, I know these guys got one gun of everything. And they got one type of gun of everything. So did he have to get their... he's an instructor, mind you, but would he have to give his guns back?
The law would apply to everybody for sure, Alan. It's interesting we're having this conversation because I just applied yesterday to renew my PAL. I've still got a couple months left, but I just want to get it renewed. But, you know, this isn't a topic of discussion that I don't ever get tired of talking about because I, like you, and I'm angry, actually, about what the federal government has done as a misguided attempt to make our community safer. This is not going to make a change in terms of community safety. But our province, and this is, I think, to your question, you know, do you become a criminal if you don't turn your gun in? I mean, the province has done a lot of work to try and step in front of and protect lawful gun owners in this province. I don't know that we've got a definitive answer on whether you and I are going to become criminals if we fail to comply with that federal gun buyback. Now, there's a process in place that you need a license to come to Saskatchewan in order to take the guns. There's a process in place to make sure you are getting a fair value for your gun. But if you choose not to, my guess is, Alan, that the police aren't necessarily going to compile a list and start knocking on doors and making arrests. But I do worry about the day... heaven forbid a break and enter happens and someone gets one of these guns stolen that they should have turned in. Does that force the hand of the police to look at it through a criminal investigation? Right.
Right. So most of us that have guns, we have them locked in a safe.
Yeah.
We have locked in a gun cabinet. We have them put away in a safe along, you know, with a separate container for
your ammunition.
Exactly. So this is the most ludicrous. You know what this reminds me of is the long gun long gun registry.
Totally.
Was that early 2000?
Yes.
$2 billion thrown out the window.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. No reason whatsoever.
You and I, Alan, are going to have this conversation in, I don't know, a year, 2 years from now and say, see, it was the same thing.
Right. Well, I hope so, Evan. I hope so.
Happy New Year, Alan.
The same to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate you calling in. 1-877-332-8255. Jim in Regina is bugged by David Eby. How are you, Jim?
I'm great. Hi, Evan. Well... Premier Eby seems to be shooting from the lip once again.
Shooting from the lip, I like that.
He seems to be saying that increased domestic refining capacity can somehow substitute for a pipeline from Alberta to the West Coast and a West Coast terminal at Prince Rupert. And I mean, that's simply not the case.
Right.
All the, you know, the
they're
oil.
They're two separate discussions, Jim, right?
Clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly. We already have refining capacity to look after our domestic needs.
We don't look after all of it, though, Jim, right?
Well, Irving Oil looks after the Maritimes and supplies Quebec. That's a Maritimes-based refinery. The refinery at Sarnia looks after much of the need in Ontario. And similarly here, we've got refineries here.
Mm-hmm.
Like our co-op refinery here in Regina. It makes use of Syncrude premium oil from Fort McMurray.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an improved form of bitumen.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you're saying let's cut out the rhetoric on refineries until we get the pipeline built.
Yeah, and even if we do get the pipeline built, and what he's suggesting is we need a refining capacity at the West Coast, well, why? To ship what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you going to ship gasoline? We don't know what our customers will want, our new international customers. If you send them crude, they can make whatever they want from it.
Right. Well, Jim, I appreciate the call. I am not a fan of David Eby myself. I feel like he is doing nothing but trying to block this pipeline. But you know what? I'm not disheartened to hear conversation about maybe we need more refining capacity in Canada. We still buy refined gas and oil from other countries. We don't supply all of it domestically to our country. Is that a market for us? Is that value add something we could look at? Maybe that's something we could chat about with Brian Zinchuk, who's coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. We're only half done open lines. We're doing this right until 10 o'clock, so oodles of time to get your call or text in on the show. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Greenland should be part of the United States. The president has been very clear about that. That is the formal position of the U.S. government. Nobody's going to fight the United States militarily over the future of Greenland. The United States should have Greenland as part of the United States.
Good morning. That's quite the clip, isn't it? I want to talk about Greenland in just a second here, because I do think Greenland is actually going to be the problem between Canada and the United States. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But I want to stay on the lines for a moment here, because we are in open lines, 1-877-332-8255. And, you know, I feel like we've got thousands of reporters with boots on the ground, because you see, hear, and know things and often will share them with us. And our friend Todd, who is a regular listener from Big Sky, Montana, he regularly texts in almost daily, sends me a text this morning and says this: "Good morning, Evan. It's Todd from Big Sky. There's something going on with pipelines because Daniels County in Montana has projected a 30-inch oil pipeline buried 4 feet in the ground, and there's permits going on, men going around to farmers. A few farmers have actually been paid already for the use of their land." So there's something going on. This is potentially going to cross over to North Dakota and then go south. Interesting little tidbit there, Todd. We'll have to get the newsroom to dig into that. Thank you so much for sharing. 1-877-332-8255. My friend Ken. Ken, you and I haven't talked for 3 months. Now you've called me twice in a week. I love it.
Pretty much, buddy.
How are you?
Good.
Good. What's on your mind today?
You had the president of the Wildlife Association on a couple, 3 weeks ago.
Right, yeah.
And he come out and said that SJI only had 9,000 claims and 5 deaths from wildlife last year. So if you do a little bit of math in a hurry, say $10,000 a hit, which isn't very much on the vehicles nowadays,
mm-hmm.
That's $90 million that SJI is paying out. Now, if we got rid of, like, down in this corner, the deer are crazy, moose are bad, and now elk are coming in here, and there's really no seasons for them. Like last night on the way home, I counted 22 deer on the side of the road.
Is that right? What type of deer are they? Mule or whitetail?
They were both.
Oh, okay.
One herd of muleys and one herd of whitetails. But they got to start doing a better harvest of these animals, because 90 million just is a probably really low number that SGI wants. And then SGI wants to raise rates on our vehicles. Well, I think it's time that all the deer, elk, and moose got cleaned out. And this of, we got to save them. Why? Mm-hmm. Why do we have to save them when they're killing people?
And there were definitely population problems. I mean, gosh, look at what we saw with the antlerless elk hunt in the fall. So Ken's point is, don't raise the rates with SGI. Let's find a way to deal with this through opening up and expanding the hunting capabilities in the province. It makes it safer. It solves the problems that farmers are talking about that these animals are causing on their farms as well. Good point. Fair point, Ken, for sure. Thanks for calling in. Okay, Greenland. Let's talk about this for a second. This is fascinating, and this is going to get very, very interesting. Now, we know that U.S. President Donald Trump has basically mused about Greenland and the importance of assuming Greenland into the United States, making it part of the United States. The United States have access to Greenland right now when it comes to military bases. They have military bases set up on Greenland, and I could guarantee you that they would be welcomed by Denmark if they wanted to come up and put more there. Denmark isn't going to say no to the United States enhancing their defense blueprint on this big piece of land. It is an important part of the corridor. There's no question about it, whether it's shipping routes. It is also a way to protect the Western Hemisphere, of course, from threats from the East. The challenge is, and you and I know this, this is the part that doesn't need to be said, but will be, Donald Trump wants access and to possess Greenland because of the resources. He wants access to the critical minerals. He wants access to oil reserve. That's what he wants, right? That's all part of it. It's like a big game of Risk for him. He's accumulating land and territories. That's what he would like to do. So here's the problem for Canada. When Venezuela happened this past Saturday, Mark Carney came out, albeit late, with a statement that really walked a tightrope. He talked about this is good for the democracy of Venezuela, but then he also, kind of hinted at we have to pay attention to international law, which was kind of a weak swipe at saying you can't just go in and do what you want, Donald Trump. So he walked the tightrope and probably for the most part got away with it. I don't think it infuriated Donald Trump. In fact, he probably didn't even pay attention to it. If Greenland progresses, if the U.S. get more serious about this and this gets more heated, Mark Carney is not going to be able to walk that same tightrope. He met with the Danish prime minister this week while he was overseas and said he stands with Denmark, insisting that the future of the Danish territory of Greenland will be decided solely by the people of Denmark and Greenland. So he was pretty strong with his comments there. If the United States makes a power play for Greenland, Mark Carney is not going to be able to walk a tightrope. Mark Carney is going to have to continue to follow the logic that he threw out in his comments this week, his support for NATO, his opposition to the United States actually moving in and trying to assume control of the territory of the country. But that is not going to help negotiations between Canada and the United States. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out with Greenland. And it's going to play out right before our eyes. And I'm sure you and I will be talking more about that going forward. 1-877-332-8255. Let's pop back to the text line. I want to talk a little bit more about Krista Freeland, because we had Brian Lilly on, who is a political columnist with the Toronto Sun. And really, I think the Krista Freeland thing has a lot to do with timing. right? That's ultimately where this comes down to. It's got a lot to do. Don't forget, in September, Chrystia Freeland was tapped to be Canada's special representative for the reconstruction of Ukraine. She stepped down from her cabinet position of transport and internal trade to take on this role, but she stayed on as an MP. Then we hear this week, probably unplanned or poorly planned, from the Ukrainian president that she is going to take on a position there as basically a consultant or someone who's going to help out with economic decision-making for the country of Ukraine. Well, she's still a sitting MP. She hasn't resigned the position officially yet. Now she's come out and said she will, but it's probably a couple of months down the road or whatever it's going to be. It's the timing of this. It's the conflict of interest that has people really upset. And a number of texts that have been coming in on this saying things like the Freeland case, this is from Don in Saskatoon, is just another example of politicians of all stripes living up to the adage, the rules for thee and not for me. Don says, if this was you or me trying to work for two employers simultaneously where a clear conflict of interest existed, we would have been unceremoniously fired with the door hitting our behind on the way out. Freeland should be required to use her $2 million a year paycheck from Oxford. I didn't know she was making a $2 million a year salary from Oxford, but to repay her MP salary for at least the last 6 months to the Canadian taxpayer. Yeah. The thought, Damon, or Don, is not bad, but will that actually happen? You know as well as I do, it's not going to happen. Another text here, Freeland is just another example of a federal Liberal government world citizens who happen to have Canadian passports. So there's frustration for sure with the timing of how this Freeland thing went down. That whole conflict of interest. I mentioned the cooling off period this morning when I was talking with Brian Lilly. The cooling off period is put in place after a politician steps away from federal politics to prevent them from using their position while they're still sitting as an elected official to lobby to get their next job. So they put this cooling off period rule in place so that the politicians are dissuaded from doing that. Well, this clearly there's some questions that come from this as well. Keep in mind, I mean, I've said this a couple of times on the air, the position that she is doing with Ukraine, it's not a job. It's not a paid position. She's not paid for it. She will, however, receive an honorarium. I'm sure she will receive per diems if she's doing work on behalf of the country of Ukraine. But it's not a salaried job position, but I know she does have one lined up or perhaps is set to go into one in England as well. So lots of different things to look at. I think she's going to be on the board for Rhodes Trust is what I was told. So lots to play out there, but definitely lots of you with opinions about that on the text line. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. More open lines for you coming up after the break. And then at 10 o'clock, our friend Brian Zinchuk stops by for his regular monthly check-in on all oil and gas. And we certainly have things to talk about with Brian this morning. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Baby, what a big surprise. Right before my very eyes. 1-877-332-8255. That is the number. If you would like to join the conversation, I've got a text here that says, while I appreciate more talk of Pipeline Canada should be energy dependent, it should have happened a long time ago. We need more refineries as well. I know it's two different conversations, but the clock isn't ticking. Time is up. We need both to happen now or it will be too late. I am interested in the talk of more refineries. This is a conversation that BC Premier David Eby has brought up. Now, what I'm not in favor of is his attitude that let's look at a refinery instead of a pipeline. To me, it isn't an either or conversation. It's likely both. And don't forget, Brian Zinchuk coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit more about that with him. Nick in Saskatoon says, many have been brushing off Trump's threats all year, including you, Evan. But here we are with Venezuela, oil, Greenland threats. In mid-December, Trump also lifted sanctions on Belarus and potash, who, along with Russia, are our only rivals in that sector. The Americans are no longer friends. One third of them said yes to Trump. Carney's not my guy, but he has the right idea to cozy up to the other nations for trade. So you remember yesterday we had General Rick Hillier on, and I said to him, should Canada be worried? Like, should Canada be worried about the United States using force to come in and do something in our country?
Well, I think we got many things in Canada to worry about, but not included in that is a military threat from the United States of America. I think we should worry about our economy and whether we're diversifying across the country with trade between provinces that is unfettered and unencumbered, and whether we can diversify into Europe more and into Asia more, and whether we can invest in our defense and security and actually protect and defend and strengthen our sovereignty ourselves as a responsible G7 nation. I think that's what we should be worried about. Get our own act together. Never mind worrying about the Americans. I'm not worried about a military threat to Canada from the United States of America.
1-877-332-8255. Kate, let's go back to the phone lines. Seth, thanks for calling in. Your thoughts this morning.
Yeah, well, I know Mr. Trump there, he spouts a lot of nonsense. For one thing, Reuters News Service said no oil company, none of the major U.S. companies were contacted before or after.
Mm-hmm.
So he throws a lot of stuff out there. And to me, I think his rage tweeting over the Christmas period, it was 150 tweets over one day or something like that. Like, he's in a panic over this whole Epstein thing. So, hey, let's go and bomb somebody. Like, it's all a distraction. And, I mean, if you really look at the same companies that left Venezuela came to the oil sands in Canada, are they really going to lower the price of their product by spending $100 billion? And, I mean, the shareholders are what they're looking after. They're not going to go spend $100 billion to go into a country that, first of all, is totally unstable. Mm-hmm. Like, his saying that the companies are right on board with this is a bunch of BS.
Yeah, it's interesting, Seth, because you're right. There has been an eerie silence from many of the major oil companies, and that's been noted. And I've seen news reports, news stories, articles written about that since Saturday and since this operation took place. So, you could be on to something there, but I guess time will tell. I literally have about a minute left, and I'm going to squeeze in Larry from Saskatoon. Your thoughts, Larry?
Well, Greenland, if the Trump administration facilitates some investment in oil, natural gas, other minerals, there's only 57,000 people there. They immediately become as wealthy as Arabian princes. They can also take that wealth and build up a sovereign wealth fund like Norway has done, and they'd be wealthy and independent of any economic ups and downs for as long as they live.
You're saying that the 57,000 population of Greenland should be welcoming the U.S.
Investment into their minerals, oil and gas, would make them extremely wealthy and well-protected with a military base there, the United States. It's a win-win, and Norway did that, and Saskatchewan and Alberta should have our own sovereign wealth funds, and we wouldn't be dependent on the fluctuations in income.
Larry, you've given us lots to talk about with no time left in open phones, but that's okay. We do open phones every day, and in fact, we are going to continue the discussion. We'll just bring a guest in to do so. Brian Zinchuk joins me next. We'll talk oil, gas, and energy. We'll talk about the impact of what's unfolded with Venezuela and a whole lot more when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.